our top key guy said, you know, they're giving me a presentation, said, we got a drill target here. I went, you got that from someone?
Can we interrupt you? Well, for viewers and listeners, they have a drill target. They have the license to produce oil in Cambodia. Just think about that. That's all you need to say to think.
Yeah, look, it's just being the first. It's always difficult breaking trail. There's no question. There are all sorts of hurdles. But it is what it is. And like, it's a game changer. It's a game changer.
Delaine Winks, Anchor Resources, how are you, my friend?
I'm very good, Andy, and I'm excited to share our updates with you on this fine spring day.
Yeah.
Almost summer.
Well, it's summer down here in the South. It's the humidity is starting to hit, but let's talk about what do you got going on today? You had some news that just dropped and about Cambodia. Tell us about it.
Sure. So we had the seismic contractors from Thailand join our technical team, and they went on a scouting of all the lines of seismic. So they've had some rain, but they were able to look right across the landscape and ultimately at each channel, at each access point to see if there were any problems with getting in there to do the seismic. We're just waiting for the final approval from MME, Ministry of Mines and Energy, and MOE, Ministry of Environment, to proceed with that. But it appears that they have no concerns about the 2D seismic and that the environmental assessment for that portion is complete. So yeah, they spent 4 days out there kind of slugging around and had some great pictures coming back. And I'll be sending out a CEO message to follow up with a lot of those photos. So later this week, our viewers can anticipate that.
Got it. And all of the shareholders can anticipate that. They'll be sending an email. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. Talk to me a little bit more about the company. Let's dive a little deeper, if you would. What's going on in Saskatchewan? You've had some news hit there just about a week or two ago, if I'm not mistaken. That's really going to help your bottom line. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure. Look, so in Saskatchewan, annually, we have obligations to do a independent evaluation on our reserves there. And ultimately, when we initially purchased the property, we had that independent report done, and we put a value on our 40% of that at 4.4 million Canadian. That's what we paid. That was all fine. So 8 months later, we had undertaken, you know, we have this big pool of underground. And if you could picture, I don't know, 20, 30 straws in there, each of those are vertical wells pulling out oil. But what had happened is the previous operator had, between 2004 and 2018, they pulled out 30 million barrels of fluids, oil, water. But they didn't inject any of, and it was a high water cut. So let's be clear here, of the 30 million, probably 24 million barrels of that was water.
Wow.
So all of that down the hole creates a pressure so that your oil comes up.
Right.
You take away that much volume and you have very low pressure. So what it means is that you've still got really valuable oil there, but you need to put in place some enhanced recovery measures. That's what our water flood has been about that we've been talking about for the last several months, to say, well, let's start injecting water back down there. Now, I did some math to replenish 30 million barrels, and we were adding not just replenishing what we were taking out, but we were adding another 650 barrels a day from other producers.
Wow. Oh, congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you, Andy. But that would take 50,000 days to essentially replace that void. So long and the short of it is we add additional water injection wells where we can. So if we have a really low producer, because they're all coming out of the same reservoir, if we take a producing well that's doing, I don't know, 2 barrels a day. And we say, you know what? We're not going to produce oil from it. We're going to inject water down it instead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we convert it. Anyway, we ultimately, at the end of the day, with this report, we had done the application to the province to put in up to 13 conversions into water injections. But the sweet deal was the valuation comes out not at 4.4 million, but at 8.3 million.
You doubled your valuation.
So double the valuation by taking measures to enhance recovery. And honestly, this is what I think our teams are really good at. We maximize the benefits with the resources that we have. And we reduce environmental concerns. Ultimately, the water taken out should have been put back exactly where it came from. Mm-hmm. However, now we're just fixing that and moving forward. So I think we won't see an annual increase like that, but this is the start to say, all right, we have a really good project here. That, and ultimately, you know, when I talk to the operators and say, you know, how much oil is down there, and they keep saying, Delaney, you're going to be dead and gone before we run out of oil. They said, as long as it is managed properly and not overproduced. In other words, what we have in Saskatchewan, pretty constant, great, look after those. They call it, it's like looking after your kids, you know, your children. They are each different, and each well is a little bit different, and pressures up differently depending on so the pressures and whatnot. So I think we're really excited about that. It doesn't mean we're going to get rich overnight here, but it means that we're going to be investing more into that project. To get those additional conversion wells and to make sure that we've got enough water from both our own production and other surrounding production. So that's kind of, I think that's really cool that after that long, we've been able to almost double it. And like I said, it's the long-term view on that, very, very positive, Andy. We've got some really good things coming there. So
and that'll be in the reports that you're sending out, correct?
Yeah. And people can look at our last press release on that too, and our last CEO message, and give you more information as well. We are looking at we're only about 8 kilometers from the Alberta border, so it's to our west.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we are looking for some other opportunities in there to do some additional acquisitions that will give us a bit more revenue each and every month.
It's music to my ears. Instead of resting on the laurels of what you have going on in Cambodia, you're looking to make acquisitions here. So,
I think it's really important for what we're doing is there. I'd like to add at least 2 more revenue streams, even if they're small ones, each and every month. Look, it mitigates the risk for investors. You know, if something goes down, you got a couple more, which was our entire theory about oil and gas and minerals. And so gold, copper, oil, people are going, what are you doing? You know, but it's in our opinion, it is the way forward to make sure that we're diversified and to also mitigate any risk so that if one commodity has some fluctuations, it doesn't affect, we still have real solid value there for everyone.
All right. Well, let's talk about those other commodities and circle back to Cambodia here. What gets lost, I'm afraid, your story, and it's a great story, is just the gold and copper assets you have in Cambodia. Let's talk about that, and what new do you have, or is there any news coming out that you can share with us that you have about those assets?
Sure. So ultimately, we are currently drilling on a copper gold porphyry system called Canada Wall.
Did you name that?
No, our team was out there, and actually it was the locals that said, you know, we're going to call this, you're Canadians, they said, so why don't you just call it Canada Wall instead?
They must love you then.
Well,
and that's really
pretty positive relationship. But Canada Wall is a site that we originally had, and and there were illegal miners in there. So they had dug an adit and were tunneling underneath, and we were pulling out, I think the grade on that was, there were sacks of this ore that graded about 20 grams per ton. So it was some really high grade areas. But just as importantly, and perhaps more so, is that as we started to explore it more, it turned out to be a copper porphyry system, copper gold porphyry system. So copper is just as vital to our world as gold, and in some ways more so. But so ultimately, Cambodia doesn't have a copper discovery yet. It doesn't have a copper mine, and both this license, Andong Mia license at this prospect, and another license called Andong Bor, both have copper gold porphyries on them.
Congratulations.
We're looking forward to getting some results. I mean, copper mines, if you're going into copper, they take a lot of drilling to prove out. It's not like gold. It's not like you can go say, okay, we've got them. So it's going to take some time. But ultimately, it would be really, really positive if we could prove that out to be of commercial quantity. So that's what we're working right now on, the one. The Andong Bor license, which is on the west, northwest of the province, out of the country, rather. We are looking to drill that. Our partners now have said that they've got the funding in place. So I expect in the next 10 days, we will be drilling Andong Bor. And that too has had some drilling on it. It's a grade of 0.53 percent equivalent copper. We need more drilling on it to prove that through. But that's really positive to go from surface down to, I think total depth was 525 feet or 525 meters. And they had a copper showings all the way. So
wow. Good
that's
news.
Really, really positive. We would like to get that grade equivalent closer to 1%, but 0.53 is significant on its own for early drilling. So,
sure.
So we're chasing that as well. And gold, Andy, gold is always gold. We love gold, and we've got several prospects, gold epithermal veins on two of the licenses. So there's always, and you watch the locals in the rainy season, they take a pan out and they'll be panning gold all over. We don't stop them, the local people. They're not recovering enough that it would get in us. And honestly, following artisanal miners is one of our best methods. Those people do not waste their time. They know.
Yeah. Can you explain to me, though, we talked about this last time I had you on. Can you just explain to me, though, the process of getting a license and really a mining license in Cambodia? You guys have obviously put in the time, and all of my viewers and listeners need to be very aware of that. It's about relationship buildings and getting the locals and the governments all the way up the food chain, for lack of a better word, just really familiar with you and also just very trusting in you. And that just happens over time. But the advantage I saw and think you have in Cambodia that I want you to talk about is just that process is a lot quicker, if you would, as opposed to some jurisdictions in the world that I just would never touch, just because you're never going to see your money back or I'll be dead in the grave when that mine gets opened.
Yeah, sure. So let's split it first. Let's split the mineral because it's a different process than the oil.
Right.
So we have a mineral exploration license, and it's a 7-year license and a three-year term and then 2 2-year terms as renewals. As long as we do the work that we're supposed to do, we will get renewals. At that point, we are expected to have either a sufficient quantity to apply for a mining license, or what's called an exploitation license, or to let the license go. So an exploitation license or a mining license means that we have to do the full scope application. We have to have a feasibility study in place. We've got to have a processing plan in place. We've got, and And it's significant. I mean, it's not like a 10-page document that you just throw out and say, here's what we're going to do. And we need to respect that the ministry expects a professional, well-prepared, complete document for it to review. So then if we had the feasibility study done, we would then put this into the government and go through that process. So, I mean, we haven't done one of them. We haven't done an exploitation, but we have known others to do the exploitation licenses. It is most likely a 12-month process. But you then have a permit to produce, depending on your grade and your tonnage, which is all identified in the feasibility study, of course.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt you here. That's a 12-month process if everything's done correct.
Yes, everything's done. Exactly. And you're right, Andy. Permitting is...
It's the way it should be, just for everybody listening.
Permitting is a major issue globally.
Yeah,
and
really.
And I mean, I don't make any guarantees, but I mean, just seeing what else happens, I think the government moves it forward. They put together their committees and they meet. You know, the key is to be prepared and do a really good job of your documentation going into the meetings.
Sure.
So
be prepared and also put in the work. Put in the work, just being there. You know, and again, making friendships and relationships within the government and in the local community. That's certainly. Yeah. Doesn't hurt expediting things.
No, of course not. And we have a really strong reputation. It's about how we do business. You know, yeah. We've worked with the local communities and economic development and education and healthcare for literally years leading up to that point. Yeah. So yeah. All of that's already in place. And yeah. I think that certainly helps out too.
Yeah.
Now the oil side is different. Oil side, when you negotiate a production sharing contract, that takes you through the entire cycle, not just exploration, development, production, and ultimately reclamation at the end. But that process, and again, this was our first in the country. We had COVID right in the middle of it. It took us 2.5. We started in 2019, late 2019, and we had it in 2022. So again, COVID in the middle of that, that didn't help, but it's a 30-year agreement. So essentially it is fully permitted. We still have to go back. There are milestones like with the Ministry of Environment on an environmental assessment and with the Ministry of Mines and Energy on before we drill and let them know this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we do that in writing. But ultimately having the 30-year plus production sharing contract signed, sealed, and in place means that we are permitted for that. And I think that's a really unique position to be in. And when I talk to other nations and their production sharing agreements, no, they're not 30 years. Well, sometimes they're 10 in Asia. So we're excited. We're excited to get, all right, let's get this seismic going, you know, and let's get this drilling moving. So I'm really hoping that with this 2D seismic that we're running, that we're going to hit a couple of drill targets because we were looking at some other licenses as well. And our top key guy said, you know, they're giving me a presentation, said, we got a drill target here. I went, you got that from somebody?
Didn't we interrupt you? Well, for viewers and listeners, they have a drill target. They have the license to produce oil in Cambodia. Just think about that. That's all you need to say to think.
Yeah, look, it's just being the first, it's always difficult breaking trail. There's no question. There are all sorts of hurdles. But it is what it is. And like, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. And so
really is.
We're pretty excited.
Yeah. Okay. To all my viewers and listeners, I am an active shareholder in Anchor Resources. We have been buying more as of the last week. We will continue to buy over the next several weeks. Just so everybody knows, full disclosure, Anchor Resources is also a sponsor of naturalresourcestocks.net. And I met Delaine, and I won't tell you the conversations we've had. I had dinner with Delaine about a week to 2 weeks ago. It was awesome. It was so awesome. And a lot of info given, great info to potential shareholders and that sort of thing. So there should be some buying coming in if you haven't seen it already. But I'm an active buyer and an active shareholder. Landing the plane here, Delaine, anything that you can share over the next 2 to 4 weeks before I have you on again?
Yeah. Going right through June, we're going to have an exciting month. There are several pending press releases coming on that. So watch the news. And again, if you want to get on board, just send us an email and we can add you to our CEO message mail out list. And that always supplements every press release and gives you some other additional information that, and a lot of pictures of how we're doing this and as we move forward.
Excellent. Well, Delaine Weeks, you actually, I think you've been jet setting around to the different projects. Are you back in Saskatchewan right now?
I am actually in Northern Alberta right now. Well, hoping to head back to Cambodia the latter part of June. So,
got it. And for all my viewers and listeners, she was in Atlanta about 2 weeks ago. So again, you're making all these flights and everything to help the company, and you need to go get some rest. So take your vitamins and get some sleep, okay?
Good deal. All right. Thanks, Andy.
Hey, thanks. It's really good to see you.
Take care. Bye-bye.